Hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to our January 2019 Office Hours Call. This is a start of a new year, so happy new year. I hope that you're doing well so far in this new year, and I hope that all your new year dreams come true. And if you've made resolutions for 2019, I hope that you're on the way to getting there. But the truth of the matter is, unfortunately, most people don't, because by the middle of the month, they're frustrated and they let go of them and done by the end of January. So that's what I'm here to support you with. So here we have it, where this is the Office Hours Calls. Welcome to any new members. And I will open up the lines so you can talk to me. And the way you do that, if you've phoned in or used the web call option, you can just do *2 on your telephone and that will raise your hand. There's already several people who've put in questions, so I'll always start with those questions. And then the other way is to just on your screen, if you're online, you will see off to the right hand side, you'll see chat and Q&A. The best place to get way to get my attention for those questions is to put them in the Q&A. The chat is really for the conversations that happen between. And sometimes I miss things in the chat, so you may have to then copy them and tell me again, because it goes by really fast sometimes. All right, so I'm going to start with the Q&A, and then I see Ketz, Becca Ketz has her hand up, so we'll go to her question then, and we'll just take it by that. So questions that have been submitted, there's five questions that have been submitted by three people. So Barbara from the UK says, it came to my attention that you can hardly use black pepper at all, that I hardly use black pepper at all, but frequently cayenne pepper. I read that too much black pepper can affect the kidney function in a bad way. Is that your reason? At the same time, it said that black pepper helps absorb turmeric. Does cayenne pepper do the same way and with the same efficacy? Barbara, great question. And Barbara reminded me, because she put ERC right in the front, what program are you in? Would be very helpful for me to know. That way I know what resources you have access to. So Barbara asked about, black pepper. I don't use it a lot. I think I got out of the habit of using it years ago when I read a study about gastric cancer and hot pepper, overuse of hot pepper. I didn't know about the function, kidney function, but that's why I stopped using it as much. But I still use it. Especially if I'm going to be doing something with turmeric, I'll add a little black pepper, because black pepper does affect the absorption of turmeric in a positive way. And I love turmeric and I love what it does to the body. Cayenne doesn't have the same effect. It's the piperine that's in the black pepper that is causing that enhanced effect. Cayenne has other things. I like the hotness. It's mostly from a culinary reason, Barbara, that I like the hotness of cayenne pepper, because I love hot and spicy food. So if you don't, then substitute it, especially if you're doing turmeric there. But cayenne also is a vasodilator, so it's really good for circulation problems. It's good for people who have peripheral neuropathies as a complication of diabetes. It actually is good for healing mucous membranes in the body. The unfortunate thing is most people with like gut and, intestinal and stomach problems with the mucous membranes, the cayenne feels a little hot, So it may burn, but it's actually doing some healing, but most people don't want to tolerate the burning. That's the reason. ERC, it's Barbara again. I heard many times that one should be careful with iodine and seaweed if you have thyroid problems. I had a few instances of hyperthyroid, but seemed to have mainly hypo. Are you as well of the opinion to be careful with seaweed and only have it occasionally? No, I don't agree with that. I do agree that there's a lot of studies out there that show that excess iodine can exacerbate an existing Hashimoto's situation. So if somebody has Hashimoto's, which is autoimmune, excess iodine can exacerbate it. However, it's critical to have iodine in order to make thyroid hormone. You absolutely cannot make thyroid hormone unless you have iodine, because it's at the core. When we think about T3 and T4, it's actually a tyrosine type core, which is an amino acid with either three or four iodines attached. So iodine deficiency, I believe, is more common than iodine excess because we've stripped the soils, and most of the soils, if you look at it, most of the land vegetables have very little. The sea vegetables, of course, are still abundant. And because of that, and because iodine is so hard to absorb, it requires a lot of stomach acid, and we see a lot of people with low stomach acid, a lot of people are low in iodine. But here's the thing, I always caution people, if you have thyroid disease, if you're hypothyroid, hyperthyroid, or if you have Hashimoto's, and when you say, I usually have low, but sometimes I have high, it makes me think that there's an antibody involvement. So here's what I do. I recommend that people do an iodine load test to see what your iodine status is before starting any major supplementation. But very occasionally with seaweed, I think it should be an important part of everybody's diet, and it can be included, you know, as a small condiment or as a big salad, depending on your status. I think 2-3 times a week would be great. And if somebody has hypothyroid but no Hashimoto's and their iodine test shows low, I recommend, you know, up to 2 ounces a week of seaweed. So there's the iodophobics out there. Dr. Brownstein talks really well about it. Dr. David Brownstein. And he wrote a whole book on iodine. He's an MD, functional medicine MD. And his experience with iodine is some miraculous shifts when people go from iodine deficient to iodine sufficient. So if you're concerned or you want to know more, check out his book, Iodine. It's just called Iodine. So, you know, Mary asked a question, but I kind of answered it to her personally when she earlier in the day. But Mary, I'm just going to answer it for everybody because I want to give people some resources. She asked, what vitamin C do I currently think is best? I'm not really feeling that the Perk C is really working in my body any longer. And that happens with supplements sometimes. It's like you're taking it, and suddenly your body doesn't want that particular thing anymore, or that particular brand, that particular combination. So Perk is one of my favorite powdered C's. I don't take it every day, but I do take it when I feel like my immune system might be compromised. I take it when I'm traveling. I take it when I'm around sick people. She wants to know what's an alternative. The other thing I also love, and I take, you know, on a not so regular basis, but is Seeking Health liposomal C. I really like that, and liposomal allows it to be absorbed much better than powders or capsules or tablets. So that's the one I like. So Karen asks a question about probiotics. Karen from Amsterdam. Hi, Karen. What's another good probiotic besides custom probiotic D-lactic free? I eat ferments daily, but assume taking a probiotic is also a good idea. You know, I have mixed feelings about that, Karen, whether you need to take a probiotic supplement if you're doing the decent amounts, like if you're taking a tablespoon of sauerkraut every day and that's considered your ferments, then I'm not sure you should do without a probiotic. If you're taking amounts, like I take like a cup a day of sauerkraut, and if I'm doing yogurt, I'll take a half a cup or a cup of yogurt that I've made. And so you'll have to feel it out for yourself. But in terms of the probiotic, taking it, you can actually take the custom probiotic D-lactic free. You can actually take that and put some of that in your probiotic, in your ferments, and allow it to grow. So you get more bang for the buck, so to speak. But other brands, Renew Life has a good one, but it's not D-lactic acid free. So if you need to do the D-lactic acid free, the only other one I know is Clair Labs. So you can check out Clair Labs. K-L-A-I-R-E. So Karen asks a question about our Healthy Keto Challenge. And for those of you who don't know about it, everybody in Vital and ERC and NEPT will be getting an email about it tomorrow as part of their weekly newsletter, but I sent out an email this morning about it, and we already have almost 700 people signed up. So it's a hot topic, and I'm really excited to welcome everybody into the challenge. So She says, in order to be ready for the Healthy Keto Challenge, it seems necessary to have a ketone monitor. It's a good idea, but it's not necessary because we're going to teach the basics. But I believe that in terms of long-term staying on any kind of keto diet, we really should be monitoring. And we'll talk more about that in the challenge. So she asks, is Keto Mojo the best choice? That's the one I use. I like it the best because the strips, which are, you know, it's the most expensive part, are the best pricing. I have another one. I think it's the Precision one that I was using for a while before the Keto Mojo came out. And those strips are like $2.50 each. The Keto Mojo, they're a little bit under a dollar. So they're still expensive compared to glucose testing. But you only need to test your ketones a couple of times a day. I mean, I sometimes do it more because I'm doing it for experimental purposes. But yeah, I like the Keto Mojo. I'm not sure you can get it overseas. You want to look at what you can get overseas and get the one that has the best reviews and the best, price performer, right? So Keto Mojo bundle, they have several bundles. What I did was I bought, I think it was around $119. I don't know how to convert that to euros, but, and it included, I think it included two extra keto containers or whatever. So, you know, whatever bundle is within your means, if you already have a glucose meter, then you don't need to use the Keto Mojo glucose meter unless you want to switch. Their strips are a little bit more expensive, not a lot, than some of the better, you know, the other brands. But they are pretty reliable. You know, a number of people in our programs have gone ahead and gotten the Keto Mojo and tested their glucose before going in to get their blood drawn and then tested it after and compared, and they were very close. So I find the same thing. I find it's pretty close when I use my continuous glucose meter. So I would say whatever bundle suits you best, but make sure you have extras, at least 50, you know, bottle of 50 extras of the keto strips, because they only come with 10 when you just buy the meter. Great questions. And Gail asks, because of headaches with new supplements, I'm taking them one at a time, sometimes over a couple of days. Can I do it faster? Gail, I'm a believer in low and slow. So if you are adding a new supplement, you should start with the lowest possible dose or lower than even they recommend. So if they're capsules and there's, you know, a pretty good size, like I say it's 100 milligrams per capsule, I would, first thing to do, I open it up, put a little sprinkle, take the little sprinkle, because you're sensitive. Like, not everybody has to do that slow, but I would start that way and then gradually increasing it. And unfortunately, it's frustrating because it's slow. But on the other hand, it's much slower to take something at a higher dose, have a poor reaction, and have to go back to ground zero. So yeah, I would definitely do it one at a time like that. I'm sorry, there's no way to speed it up, because when you speed it up, you run the risk of having an adverse reaction, being in a lot of pain, and then having to like go back to, you know, back to where you were before. So I don't think it's worth the risk, because headaches are brutal. I don't get headaches anymore, but when I was in my 20s, holy cow, those headaches, just awful, 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 awful. So it's one of the worst things. So now I'm going to go to the phone, because we have Becca who has her hand up, and I'm going to open up her line. I was thinking your first name was Ket, so now I see it's probably Becca. So I was like, oh, I wonder, Ket's, it's a very neutral name. Hi, is it Becca?
Yeah, it's Becca.
Yeah, okay. Hi there.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Sure. I'm here because I stumbled across your website on a, I don't know, one of those, I think it was a fertility summit or something like that. Hmm. And so in the process, I talked with Lynn and just kind of, she gave me the direction that she thought I should head towards your grand program first. And anyway, so I'm trying to start off the new year with that. And I am getting ready to start like the cleanse this weekend. And I just now ordered like the supplements that I found in the leaky gut protocol. Mm-hmm. But I was reading somewhere else that like something about like digestive enzymes, and I don't know if I need that now. I don't need, what all do I need to do this cleanse to try to start?
Great question. Yeah. So if you progress through the program, usually we talk about enzymes. I think it's in the second module. I think the module you're in right now with the cleanse piece is like module 3 or 4. So we talk a lot about that. So digestive enzymes. So based on your symptoms, right? So in the, did you do the assessment piece in there?
Yeah, I have the digestive function assessment in front of me.
Beautiful. So how is your stomach and pancreas?
Stomach and pancreas. That's it. Wait a second. It's a small intestine and pancreas.
Small intestine and pancreas, right.
19%.
Okay. And what about your stomach?
Low stomach, let's say upper gastrointestinal was 37%.
Okay. So that's where you need to start. Okay. So starting with the gut, the stomach being out of balance, right? The low stomach acid, that's going to affect everything. So I think a good place to start before you start the cleanse piece, the intestinal cleanse piece, is that you get some bitters. We talk about that in module 1 or 2. I don't remember which one. Bitters to help stimulate some of that digestive acid. Do you have any burning when you eat?
No, not really. I mean, very, very rarely.
Very rarely. Okay, good. So I would say, I would personally, if I were you, I would recommend starting with bitters and zinc. I mean, there's ways to test whether you're low in zinc, but zinc and bitters go hand in hand because you can't absorb zinc without stomach acid, and you cannot make stomach acid without zinc. I like a liquid zinc. I mean, it's all in that chapter, that part of the program. I like a liquid zinc, so I would say bitters, liquid zinc, and then some digestive enzymes would be definitely helpful.
Okay. So I haven't actually gotten to where the leaky gut protocol is. She just, Lynn actually forwarded that to me, and so that's where I started ordering all the
supplements. So go through an order, especially given your numbers, right? If your numbers had been real low on that upper GI, then I would say, sure, you can skip right to it, but you've got to fix that first because it's going to affect everything down below.
Well, I'm a little confused because that's what it says. The upper gastrointestinal low stomach acid is what was 37%.
Yeah, that's really high.
Okay, so I need to do the bitters, the liquid zinc, and what was the other thing?
Digestive enzymes.
And before I do the leaky gut cleanse?
Before you do the leaky gut, yep.
Okay, and for how long and how do I know when to go forward?
The symptoms, look at the list of symptoms that caused you to have that high score on the upper GI, the 37%.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I would look at that and then say, what are those symptoms? And just kind of like make a list of those symptoms. Well, you already did. It's in the thing about what the level is. And then what I would do is go back and just redo that part of the test. And there's a PDF of it so you can print it out so you don't have to go through the whole test again. You can just print out the PDF part and then do that part. And just see if that's getting better, then, yeah, you can move on. But go through the modules because I'm giving you education and I can only fit so much education into a, you know, five minute window here on a call. But all of that's in there and you'll understand when you go through and just start with module 1 and work your way through.
I'm trying to shortcut a little bit because I'm pretty pressed for time, but okay.
Yeah, I know it's challenging, but when you shortcut, you end up spending more time is my experience.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I also came up with, the vitamin assessments of being really in vitamin C and D was, 26 and 25%. And I just heard you said something. Should I even start supplementing with that right now, or should I just do?
Yeah, no, you can do that, absolutely, because that's going to help your healing process. But I would recommend the liposomal because given your gut being out of balance, you're not going to have good absorption, especially with that low stomach acid. So the liposomal might be a good place to go. I usually recommend, because liposomal is super expensive, is do as much liposomal as you can and then do you know, as much, you fill in the gaps with the powdered, the perk powdered. Let me ask you this. In your intestine, do you have symptoms of irritable bowel?
What is that? I mean,
that's where you run into the bathroom because you can't hold it, and then another day you're constipated, and another day you're running, or, you know, period of time where you have a lot of constipation, and then another period where you have runs, or sometimes it's just the diarrhea.
No, I would say I tend to have a little bit looser stools, like they're not firmed. And I see a lot of undigested food. That's all I see.
Yep, that's the stomach acid piece. So I would say, number one, chewing. And that's the reason to go through module one. There's some basic foundational pieces that most of us miss. And one of them is chewing. And if you're seeing pieces of food in your stool, it's not your stomach's fault. It's your teeth's fault. Seriously. What?
I said, I'll have to tell my mom that, because when we were kids, she always say, chew, you know,
yes,
chew for 30 seconds.
Mom was right. Mom was right. It's the key piece. And really, please, at least go through module one, because none of your gut is going to get well unless you do these foundational pieces. And it's the pieces we all miss. We sit there and we eat like on the run, and we chew like three chews and then swallow and expect that food to do any good for us. Don't work. And I explain all that and really motivate you to do something different in module one.
Yeah, I have gone through module one, but so you think that's mostly that versus a stomach acid issue?
No, you have a stomach acid issue. So I would, but you're not going to fix it unless you also chew.
Right.
Because the stomach doesn't have teeth. Sorry.
Yeah.
The only place it has teeth. So you do the little centering, you know, gratitude, whatever, before the meal. Make sure that you stop whatever else you're doing. You stop and you get centered. And then you chew, 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 chew. I mean, it's not like you have to chew like, you know, 300 times or anything, but you chew until there's really, you can't perceive that there's pieces of food still in there, that it's kind of smoothie-like. And then you swallow.
Okay.
And you know what? Do you have a weight problem or no?
I have a hard time keeping weight.
Keeping weight. Okay. I was going to say, for those who are overweight, that actually helps you to eat less. So that, you know, and if you're busy, you have kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're busy, right? And I remember when my kids were little and I try to do all this stuff and I get interrupted. And then I'd be like, why the heck am I hungry? Why the heck am I hungry? I just ate lunch. And then I go back in the kitchen, see my lunch sitting on the table. Only a quarter of it been eaten. So that's why I was hungry, because I was trying to do these things. So it is challenging to do. One of the things you can do to get away with that is drink more blended foods. Drink your foods rather than eat them. So there's recipes in the recipe guide for how to do that. But it could be like the traditional thing is smoothies, but you know, that's mostly fruit and not a lot of greens. You could go to fruit and green smoothies. And in the winter, it's like, oh my God, it's cold out there. You can blend your foods. You can lightly steam them, or you can lightly steam part of them, like the cruciferous, because they're hard. And then you can put them in the blender with some greens that are not cooked, right, to give you all that nutrition. And you can blend it up. And one of my favorites is to steam up some vegetables, throw them in the blender. I usually use cauliflower, kale, zucchini, cabbage. Those are my favorites for this. Throw them in the blender with the steam water, blend it up, and then I will add seasoning. So my favorite is to add some coconut butter and Thai seasonings to it, and a little bit of salt and essential oil of lime. Oh, it's so good, right? You can make it in Italian soup. You can make it in Indian soup. So every day you can have a different flavored soup. But you're blending it. You're not relying on that. And that, I think, is a mom's best friend, because otherwise, I mean, we have little kids. We have to watch them. We have to be with them. And they don't like say, oh, it's mom's time to eat. I'm going to give her time to eat. Right? You barely can go to the bathroom by yourself when you have little kids. So it's really a good thing to protect yourself and do more blended foods.
Okay.
Okay.
And do you have a liquid zinc that you recommend?
There's three different brands. There may be more that I know of. Premier Research Labs. There's, what's the other one? Thorne has one. Good State has one. I'm thinking of even more. I'm not going to recommend the Trace Minerals because it's very concentrated and some people get nauseous from taking it. So I'm just not going to recommend that. But those are some. We have just hooked up with a company that distributes all different brands. And so with one shipping charge or no shipping charge, if you have the right amount, I think it's $100 in your cart, they will get you access to many of my things. And I'll ask Glenn to put that stuff in the chat.
Okay.
We've been there. We've set up for like months and we've barely told anybody about it because it's just,
okay. You know,
just haven't done it. But I really like, and I chose this company because they have most of my brands that I love. They have custom probiotics. They have Thorn. No, not Thorn. They have Seeking Health. They have Premier Research. They have a whole bunch of others that I really love, biobotanical research. And yeah, so it's worth checking that out. And you can get enzymes there. You can get bitters there. Yeah, pretty good.
Okay. And a vitamin D, last question, vitamin D.
Branded vitamin D? I mean,
yeah.
Your D and it's low?
I mean, I haven't actually had a test, so this is just off the nutrient balance thing. And
it's
off
the
nutrient balance.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
so,
is that accurate enough or should I?
You know, with it, if it's showing that you're low, I wouldn't recommend high doses of D because we don't know and we don't want to put you in an excess. But I would say you could safely do about 5,000 IUs a day. And the places, again, Premier Research has a liquid D. Then there's Vitamin Code. Has a capsule D that you can get in a 5,000 capsule. Who else? Biotics has a good one too. They have a liquid. And then there's something called, I think it's Kind that has a vegan version of a liquid D. So lots of good ones.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
You are so welcome. Thank you. All right, now we have Sandra in Madison. Hey, Sandra. Sandra?
Hello.
She must be at work. So, Sandra, when you're ready, I'm going to put your hand down. And when you can talk, go ahead and put it back up again. Okay. All right, so I don't see more questions in there. I'm going to go back to the chat and the Q&A. Let's see. Okay, a bunch more came in. Okay, so Nikki in Body Balance. Hi, I recently took a blood test for vitamin B12. It was 442. The range was 200 to 1100. So I'm gonna give you two things. So I'm assuming your question is, should I be should I be supplementing? Personally, think that the blood test for vitamin B12 is not a good indicator. If you're low, then I think that it's definitely a good indicator. But if you're high, it's oftentimes people with methylation issues that are high. The best test for B12 status is called methylmalonic acid, MMA, methylmalonic acid. But at 442, definitely lower than I think it should be. So a lot of things go into what's the best B12 for each person. You definitely 432 is not in the ideal range, right? So you can definitely supplement with B12. But since I don't know your genetic patterns, Nikki, I don't know if you have a particular thing called COM-T that would be contraindicating high doses of methyl B12. This is what I would recommend. I would recommend Seeking Health has a liposomal B12. It's a little bottle. And I would start with taking one drop a day. You do that for a few days and you check to see if you tend to feel like more anxious, irritable, cranky, like you want to bite somebody's head off, then it's not a good idea. Likely at that dose, nobody's going to get that. So then you go to two drops. And then if that's okay, you go to three drops. And if that's okay, you go to four drops. And you just keep going till you get to somewhere in the vicinity of 10 drops, right? So you don't have to be exact. And then when you get there, then if at all that point you're not, you know, getting anxious or triggered or, you know, whatever, then you're good. Then take it. So I would say, yeah. And you can always do an MMA test or a Dutch test, which is really cool. And I think we talk about that in the adrenal part of the module, in fact. In fact, I think we need to add that to it. Thank you, Nikki. Jeannie, hi, Jeannie. I have a skin rash on my shin, on my leg. I'm trying to figure out why. Whether it's a food, a new supplement, or something else. Is there something, anything I can do, put on it to help? I was wondering about one of the essential oils. So I would love to hear you describe what the rash is, because before we, you know, topical, you know, is just going to suppress or make it less itchy and aggravated. But the basic core things that you can put on it that are easy and not going to get you in trouble, that are soothing and helping to heal, I would say vitamin E, just a liquid vitamin E rubbed on there. It's very good for skin. Calendula could be very soothing. Calendula is an herb. You can get a homeopathic version of it, or you can just get the regular. I usually just get regular calendula, and I get it as an oil. The reason I get it as an oil, because a lot of the creams are loaded with a bunch of junk, right? Aloe vera sometimes helps. Best to come right from the plant. Shea butter can be very helpful. When I had a bad sun reaction and I was peeling and itchy, that really helped with the itch. You really want to know why. So if you added a food, anything you added since this, like I would say a week before this thing started, look at what did I add? Was it what foods, what supplements? Was I under stress? Was I in a different environment, sleeping in another person's house with sheets that who knows what they laundered it in? But I really would love to know more about this rash before we try to figure that part out. If you've done any, had any also gut symptoms that can be aggravating it. So that's what I would be asking you. So if you want to chat it in or you just want to raise your hand, we can chat about it. Okay. But essential oils can be strong on the skin. There's certainly like frankincense tends to be good, but you want to put it in a little bit of coconut oil to soothe it. And sometimes just plain old coconut oil can be helpful to soothe it. Okay. But we really want to get to the root cause. Thank you. Okay. So I'm going to go back to the call. Star 2 raises your hand if you have a question, and then we'll go back to the chat. All right. Oops, it's moving. I can't control it when it's moving. Let's see. I wish Freestyle measured, I saw that. I wish Freestyle measured ketones too. I have a Freestyle is it's a meter that you put a little patch on your arm and then it will measure your blood glucose, but it doesn't measure ketones. And it's so convenient because you don't have to stick your finger. So I just ate my first meal after a almost 6-day water fast. It was like, I think 8 hours shy, not even 8 hours shy. Like 6 hours shy of being a 6-day water fast. And it was just an avocado. So I check in my blood glucose and it hasn't budged. So that's kind of cool. Lynn put in the information. She put in, but where'd the, oh, dssorders.com/Dr. Rita Ring. dssorders.com/Dr. Rita Ring. Lynn, remind me to get a custom URL that people could do. I can just remember it and say it. Yeah, Sandra, we could hear you. We could hear you, but then you stopped. We heard you say, can you hear me? So I don't know if you were not hearing me say back. Nikki says, I have an MTHFR. Yeah, and that would be really, that's right, it's really important to keep your B12 and your folate status up high. What? Jeannie says, Seeking Health Liposomal B12 hasn't been available for a long time. Wow. I didn't know that. Then I would look at some other brands. Just look up liposomal B12. Check them to make sure they're clean. I know there's one brand that I checked that had propylene glycol in it. It's like, no. We're not going to do propylene glycol with our B12. So check it out and see if there's some others. You might go to our supplement store people, the dssorders.com/Dr. Rita Marie, and there's a search function, and you can put in liposomal B12 and see what other companies might have it. Oh, Gail, the latest on the Freestyle. I went back to the 10. I won't use that 14. So the FreeCell is this little thing, as I said. They have a little thing that you have to replace either every 10 days or 14 days. The advantage of the 14 days is, you know, you don't have to change it as often, and it calibrates more quickly. The disadvantage is it's almost twice as much as the 10-day, which doesn't make sense to me. But more so than that, I wouldn't complain about that as much as it's so inaccurate, it's pathetic. So it's typically 20 to 30 points higher than all the other meters. My 10-day is accurate with regard to like the Keto Mojo and all the others. And when I first put on the 14, I still had the 10. I still had like 12 hours left with the 10. So I did the 14 on the other arm and I tested them side by side. You know me, I'm a geek. I'm a scientist. I want to know. I want to compare. It was bad. It was like 25 to 30 points consistently higher than the 10, which that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. Yeah, antifreeze. Check the Quicksilver because I think that might have been one of them that has the propylene glycol in it. Somebody recommended DSS has the one that Lynn Rose recommended, but I don't know. I think that might have been, but check it. Make sure it doesn't have any garbage in it. We want to be really careful with what we put in our bodies, and supplements are supposed to be helping us, but if they have ingredients that are not good for us, not cool. Ethylene glycol. Okay. I mean, same thing, isn't it? Somebody tell me what ethylene glycol is. Yay, Diana, your Baker seed. Okay, great. Let me see what else. Diana's fasting now. Yay, Diana. I don't want to think about food. This is my sixth day. And you know, the interesting thing was, I was going to eat last night because it was exactly 5 days. At 7 o'clock was when I hit my 5 days. And I was like, oh, food? God, I don't want to get this whole thing started again. I don't want to have to think about what am I going to eat and how I'm going to prepare and the time. I said, screw it, I'm not going to eat. So I'll eat tomorrow. So my day got busy and I don't usually eat before noon. So, but I was busy until like 2. And then I did this Facebook Live. So it was after the Facebook Live that I did. I showed an avocado on the Facebook Live in the Unstoppable group. And after the call was over, I ate it. And I just sat down slowly and quietly and ate it one spoonful of it at a time. That's how I broke my fast. So, yeah, don't think about food. What day are you on, Diana? Okay. I'm very excited for you. Fasting saved my life. There's a book called Fasting Can Save Your Life, and that book saved my life. And then the fasting that I did after that saved it. The quality of my life anyway. Maybe I wasn't in the point of going to die, but I was going to wish I was dead. Day one. Day one's hard. Diana, here, I'm going to give anybody a tips if you are thinking about fasting. Day one is psychologically the hardest because you're going, okay, forget it. I'll start tomorrow. Okay, forget it. I'll start tomorrow. Oh, that food looks so good. My husband's eating this. The commercial says that. The advertisement on Facebook says this. Just stick with it. Just stick with what is your goal? What's your big why? Why are you doing this, Diana? Write it down in the chat. Why are you doing this fast? And what do you want most for yourself? What do you want most? Okay. And then I would say that day one's the hardest. Day two, yeah, it's kind of, you know, you're hungry and you want to eat, but you've gone through, yes, you're trying to fix your gut. Absolutely. So you basically want to get through day two on sheer determination. Well, I went 24 hours. I might as well go longer. That's how I do. Cause I always decide in advance how long I'm going to do it. And then maybe I'll say 3 days, but whenever I get to 3 days, I go, why should I stop now? Tomorrow's going to be better because days 4 and 5 are actually the better. So I would just like grit it through. It's all emotional, unless you're having serious stuff, like you can't stand up, you can't breathe, you can't, you know, like serious stuff, then you break it, but slowly, like I said before, with liquids and blended. But if you can make it past day three, like past day three, I was like, wow. And that's where all that healing happens. And intestinal linings can repair themselves in as little as 5 days. And at day three, there's this process that starts in most people called autophagy. Mine started on day one, and you can measure how much autophagy you're in by the ratio between your ketones and your glucose. I was in it by the end of day one. But because I've done this a lot and I've been doing this, you know, healthy keto for a long time. But what I would recommend is get through day three and then see where you go from there, because you will get this autophagy going. And what is autophagy? It's where the body goes in and gobbles up all these, you know, cellular debris and other things that build up when you're eating and doesn't have time to. And it breaks that stuff down. And it can be really helpful, especially if you have a history of cancer, autoimmune disease, any kind of inflammatory disease. So I'm not recommending everybody go out and do a 5-day fast, you know, and I know Diana, and we've talked about it before, and you don't want to, if your blood pressure plummets, so it's a good idea to be testing your vitals. I like to test both glucose and ketones, and blood pressure I don't do because I know mine is fine, but if you start to get woozy, dizzy, and it looks bad, then start eating again. No, I don't think your symptoms are emotional, Diana. I think the craving to eat is emotional. I also think the craving to eat could be your bad critters wanting to be fed, right? They're going, what do you mean you're not feeding me? Give me food. And that becomes really strong and powerful. And that's what I'm saying, like, you have to have some emotional grit to get through that first day. Most people don't. Like I said, I'm not recommending everybody go out and do a fast. There is a Dr. Pompa who is doing a group 5-day fast. He does it every few months. He's doing it in February, and starting next week on his Facebook page, he's going to be doing education about why fasting and how it works. So if anybody has that interest, check out, just do a search on Dr. Pompa online on Facebook. He makes some good videos. All right, so who else? Janet's here. A lot of people here. Lynn Rose and Jeannie and Diana, Gail. Who else? One day at a time. Yep, you take it one day at a time. Is it okay to take some kelp for iodine rather than a supplement? Absolutely, I prefer that. I totally prefer that. Eliminating toxins is every bit as important as adding the nutrients. Absolutely. So one of the things when I wanted to do a longer fast and I knew that I could get 2 weeks by the fifth day to, you know, to do activity and I wanted to eat more muscle and whatever, I did a 5-day fast. Then I did 3 days of refeeding, really super nutrient dense food. And then went back into a 5-day fast. So instead of doing a 10-day fast. There's so much to fasting, you know, I can't teach it in one little call like this, but I recommend Pompa, you know, check him out because he has a lot of the science behind it. All right. What tests can't you get in California? The iodine load? Oh, yeah, that's right. They said they were prohibited by, you could have somebody that you know in another state get it and send it to you. Oh man, California's become like a Nazi state, you know? It's like, we're going to control you. Oh, why? A lot of people are sensitive, and most people who do these programs and have had health issues are sensitive. Oh wow, I didn't know Seeking Health was out. That's the first one. Check their, I don't like that ethylene glycol. I think of it as antifreeze, but if you guys know anything about why it's not bad for you. Which test did you take for the upper GI? She just did the gut, you know, the questionnaire that we have, upper GI, middle, lower. Yeah, she took that one. Lynn Rose gotta go. Diana says goodbye. All right, so I'm going to go back and see if Sandra is... Lynn, open Sandra's line, please, for me while I try to get through this chat and see if she can be heard.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. NuMedica.
All right. Fantastic.
All right. Hi, Sandra.
How are you?
Wonderful.
Okay. So I think I do know the answer, but... I'm planning to travel to northern Argentina in April. I'm being that I'm going to be very close to the Iguazu Falls, I wanted to be there. But apparently they have an epidemic of yellow fever right now. I looked at the vaccine that they recommend that to use, and it looks kind of yucky. So my gut feeling is telling me maybe I shouldn't go right now.
When are you planning to go?
April,
okay. So here's my feeling about this. And, you know, you obviously, it's so personal, you have to make a decision. That the ways that you can protect yourself was, one, I would look into homeopathic immunization. And Lynn, I just don't remember the name of the person that came and spoke to our practitioners on it. But if you can remember, we can get that to Sandra. Lynn Rose is also a good source of that, but she just left the call of knowing that's not her area that she focuses on in homeopathy, but she knows a lot about it. And they generally have specific homeopathic preparations that are supposed to, I'm going to say supposed to, because I haven't tested it, you know. The thing is that people that get sick from an epidemic of something is the weaker, right? People who don't have a good immune system. Now, you've been struggling for a while with your digestion and your skin, so you may be in that state. So there's ways that you could boost your immunity. There's ways that you could check out the homeopathic route, and then you could stay home and wait till that epidemic's over, because it doesn't sound like taking the vaccine.
Well, it started in 2016 in Brazil. That is really next there. So I don't think it's going to be resolved.
Say that again. I didn't hear the last part.
No, that it started in 2016.
The epidemic.
So I don't think it's going to be resolved.
Yeah, so it depends what you mean by epidemic, like how much of the population, is this a ploy on the part of the drug companies to try to get you to buy the vaccine? You know, this is going to be a personal decision that you have to make.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of the jungle there.
Yeah.
And, you know, poor countries and poor economies are a good combination.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Is there a specific region area that the vaccine is more epidemic is more pronounced?
Well, the Argentinian government says if you go there, you should be medicated. I also check on the American side, and they say the same thing, that people that didn't get a vaccine died.
Yeah, well, we don't know the real support. It's a tough one, right? It's a tough one because, like, if I were doing it, I probably would just say, I'm going to just take lots of vitamin C. I'm going to, you know, boost my immunity, extra glutathione, carry all that stuff with me, get the homeopathics for sure, and go, because I trust my body.
Yeah. Well, I don't trust my body.
I know. That's what I'm thinking, right? So, yeah. So I think your decisions seem to be between going and taking the vaccine and not going.
Yeah, and I don't think I should take the vaccine either.
And I think I don't think people that who are immune compromised should take vaccines either, because there's so many adjuvants in there. Plus, you run the risk, because they're actually giving you an attenuated form of that virus, of getting symptoms. So
yes.
I'm very skeptical about vaccines. So sounds like, can you go someplace else? Like, go to New Zealand.
No. Yeah, but the thing is, I'm going with my sister, is really close to the falls. So, you know, it would be just a short trip going there.
Yeah.
You know, for a day or so.
Have you been vaccinated?
Well, if we are going, they probably will get vaccinated. I said, maybe we shouldn't go at all. It was my idea anyway.
Yeah, so you can go and get vaccinated, or you can find someplace else fun to go with your sister.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, sorry. Was that my answer the same as what you expected?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I just,
But look into the homeopathics. You may feel comfortable with it because a lot of people do use them and get really good results.
All right.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to post that. I forget her name, but she did a really nice talk on it, homeopathic immunization, basically. Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so it looks like we have Jeannie and then Marsha.
It was still a Wapcat, and I put it in the chat.
Okay, great. Thank you. So Jeannie, hi. She got on. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yes.
Good. I just wanted to talk to you for just a second about my rash.
Yeah. So tell me about it. What does it look like? Which part of your body is it? Is it only in one place? I mean, there's a lot of questions there.
It's mostly on just the left side, just the left leg. There's a little tiny bit on the right one. And it's just on that shin, you know, from between the knee and the ankle. And I had it, I've had it since right before Christmas. So it's stayed around and it's actually gotten redder, but it's now like, it doesn't bother me. When it first started, it was really, really itchy. And it was, I thought it was like just like a dry winter skin, you know, cause I've had that before, but it doesn't hurt. It doesn't really bother me, but it is still, you know, pretty red.
Okay. So it's red. Is there any crustiness to it or weepy, like, you know, extraction of liquid?
No, if anything, it'd be more like if you rub your hands on it, you can feel it's a little, some places it's a little bit raised, but it's not like anything, you know, like open. It's more like maybe a little welty.
Okay. So you can feel it a little bit, but it's not like big, big pustules or.
No.
Okay. All right. And then, is it like little discrete patches of it or is it like all concentrated in one area?
It's pretty much concentrated in one area. As it spreads out, you know, it's a little more spotty, but it's, you know, it's like there's a center that has more of it. And then as it goes out, it's just, you know, yeah. And I did start some supplements that I was kind of concerned about. I didn't really think that much of it when it first started. Like I said, I kind of thought it was just more like a winter, you know, itchy skin. And, but so there's two things that I was curious about. One was the, supplements, cause I did start like several supplements right about that same time. And the other, let me turn this off. And the other thing that I was curious about was, and I just saw this yesterday on something and I thought, oh, I wonder if that could be, because I had lymph nodes removed, somebody had a picture of like when you have lymphedema. Mm-hmm. And I did notice that it was a little swollen because like where I had like leggings on or where, you know, if you had socks, I noticed that there was a line. I mean, so it wasn't like super swollen, but I could just tell.
Compared to the other side then, it was definitely different.
And it was, I don't know. It was just something that I, you know, like I said, it was like, it was a little tight. And so, and now it's not, that part's gone, but I was just trying to figure out, you know, if that could have something to do with it. And that's where I came up with the oil. I think where I saw that was on Facebook and somebody was trying to sell like a ginger oil for lymphedema on your leg. And so I thought, I wonder if that could be it.
Okay. I mean, it's certainly a possibility, given that the swelling has gone down, but I think, I know this is weird because it's winter. Is there any possibility it's poison ivy?
I don't, think so. I mean, I don't think I've been any place to have that.
Yeah. I mean, I know you wouldn't have been out bare-legged, but it could be on, you know, you could have gotten it on your hands and then you touch your legs and
right.
Whatever. So it's possible. So I just want to rule that out, especially mm-hmm. because you said the itching is getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's typically the course with poison ivy.
It would look a little like that. I mean, I do see that where it would look kind of like that.
And so it could be. So the supplements you started, how long before the rash started?
I really wasn't paying that much attention. I wish I would have.
No big deal. Don't worry about it. But what did you start all three supplements, or how many supplements was it at the same time?
I started the liposomal glutathione and the liposomal vitamin C and B12 and the pantothenic acid.
Wow, you started them all together.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to, my mantra, everybody repeat after me. Low and slow, low and slow, low and slow. Especially if you know that you tend to be more sensitive. You know that nothing ever bothers you, then don't matter. But low and slow. When you're adding supplements, I always recommend one at a time.
Okay.
Okay. And give it a two, one, and then you add the next, and then you add the next.
Okay. Yeah, I think I was anxious. It was like, oh, I want to get on, and I really should have. I thought, oh, I'll be fine. And
Yeah. We always think that. And that, you know, remember what I said to Gail earlier on the call, right? She said something about speeding up the process. Speeding up the process generally tends to slow down the process, unfortunately, for a lot of people. Not really. It's not universal.
Yeah. No, I get that.
So I would take them all out.
Okay.
And then see how it goes over the course of a few days. Now, it's not going to be absolute because it could be the normal course of whatever this is, that it just goes away, right?
Yeah,
it's hard to tell.
It's still red, but it is definitely on its way out. It seems like it's, you know, so much better. It doesn't itch. There for a while, it's just like that rabbit, you know, it's like, oh, you just wanted to dig at it.
To tear your skin apart. So you have two choices here, Jeannie. One is to take the supplements out, to watch it, wait for it to go away, and then add them back in one at a time every couple of days.
Okay.
All right. Low dose, you know, lowest dose, and then you can bump up the dose once you've got them in. Second way is to just, you can do some things to soothe it and increase the healing, and I'll talk to you about a couple of those things. But then it could, you know, to just run its course. We don't know. We can suspect it was that. Did anything change in your bowel habits over that time?
No, except, and see, the other piece that was, it happened before I left, but I did leave and go on vacation. So many of my symptoms, you know, I attributed to, you know, I was traveling and everything too.
Yeah.
So it was hard to define, but I did have a couple of days where my stools were harder, and I, in my own mind, I questioned if maybe I was detoxing too quickly or something.
Well, you know, if your stools are harder, then you're not eliminating the waste products that your liver has so kindly, you know, pulled out and taken and detoxified. It sits in your colon and it gets reabsorbed. And that can cause skin rashes. It can cause headaches and cause achiness, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that. So I don't know that we're going to be able to figure out exactly what it was unless it lingers, right?
Okay.
It seems like it's on its way out. If it's not gone or mostly gone within a week, or it gets worse, then we really do need to dig to find out what's going on. But at this point, I think you have one of those two choices. And I think the things that you can put on to soothe it and heal, increase the healing would be vitamin E oil.
Okay.
And you can vary these throughout the day. If you put the vitamin E oil on, nothing else is going to get absorbed after that. So you may want to just do the vitamin E oil maybe before you go to bed, and then put on, don't wear old pajamas or something so that you don't mess your sheets up. or wrap it or something. And then you can have the calendula oil throughout the day, or calendula cream if you can find a good clean calendula cream.
Okay.
All right. Coconut oil, you know, it's a matter of just trying a few things, but coconut oil can be very helpful as well. You can mix oils. So if you do get calendula as an oil and you get, you know, coconut oil, you can mix them together. From an essential oil standpoint, frankincense can be very helpful, but mix it with coconut oil because it's pretty strong.
Okay. Will you spell the, what'd you say, calendula oil?
Calendula, C-A-L-E-N-D-U-L-A.
Okay, yes, I know. Okay.
I'm sure you've seen it.
Yes, I have. Okay. No, I, that is helpful. I didn't really take it very serious for a while, and then I thought, gosh, this is sticking around, and, you know, and then it started hitting me that, you know, I don't think I had done any different foods, but definitely had started some new supplements.
And yeah, it could be
B vitamins. Is that the B vitamins?
No, it could be the Formed. It could be something in it. It could be just, it could have triggered a cleansing reaction because you took a bunch of stuff at the same time.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, it could be. Diana mentioned on the chat, she said that she makes her own calendula from her own calendula that she grows, and to private message or email her and she'll send you some of that, and she makes a clean ointment.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. Cool. Great. Thank you, Jeannie.
Thanks so much.
All right. Marsha's next. Hi, Marsha.
Hi.
Hi.
I just did a 22-hour water fast, and
yeah,
I only broke it because it was my stepdaughter's birthday lunch yesterday, but I was listening to the Fasting Transformation series, and one of the guys who Dr. Jockers was interviewing, I think his last name is Osborne, he was saying that sometimes women who fast get higher cortisol levels during the fast, and so he thought that maybe starting with 16:8 for a while first, and if women tolerate it, then eventually to work up. Do you think? Yeah, because for me, you know, I have high cortisol levels a lot during the day and at night.
Yeah, so, you know, it's going to vary from person to person. I generally tell people if they're going to start and want to do into fasting, try with the 12-hour, go to 14-hour, go to 16-hour. And then just gradually build it up so your body gets used to it. You've done a lot of that, though. So trying the 22. Now, let me ask you questions. Did you feel more anxious or stressed during this process?
Well, I have so much gut health issue that I feel relieved when I don't eat. You know, it's like just to not burp and fart and have pain gives me energy. So I like not eating, but then I love to eat. So, and I haven't resolved those two very far ends of the fulcrum, you know, I'm still like so, unbalanced in that regard.
So a couple of things you can do, right? You can check it, you know, if you're thinking your cortisol levels might be going up, your blood pressure will probably go up. So that's one way to monitor it. But based on what I know about you and what you've told me and how you do feel better when you fast, you don't feel like you have all the you know, craziness, like the hangry and the dizziness and all that. It seems like it's good for you. I believe we can't make absolute statements like women should not fast because this happens. Cortisol levels will go up initially before you go into ketosis. So the more you do the fasting and the more you follow a more ketogenic type diet, you're going to be mitigating those cortisol rises, because the cortisol goes up when the blood sugar goes down and we don't have any other fuel available. Does that make sense?
Right. So once we start burning fat, that's the fuel?
Exactly. That's the fuel. And your body's like, oh, I feel fine. I'm good. I'm fine. Okay. No problem.
Great.
Makes sense? So I think if you feel good while you're fasting, I think we got to get that gut healed.
Yes.
right? And so if the cortisol goes up a little bit, so be it. But if you actually, I'd love to see you try this at some point or go to True North or to do something, is to do the longer fast.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I think that the 5 days for your gut is like, it's so amazing to get your gut healed. You know, you're not going to get it fully healed, right? But you will get that relief of, yeah, like you said, no more burping and farting and pain.
And not sleeping at night because I have so much indigestion and tasting my food from 2 days ago.
Yeah, you need, I think your priority right now is getting that gut healed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The problem, the good thing about the summits is it educates people. The problem with the summits is that you hear all kinds of conflicting information and you don't know what's right for you.
Yeah.
Right? That's why we're going to do this challenge, this 5-day keto challenge. If any of you are wanting to join us, it's, okay, what's the name of it? HealthyKetoChallenge.com, HealthyKetoChallenge.com. And that's what I'm going to try to, I'm going to try this spell. Of course, I'm just going to be honest. It's me spewing out my experience and my opinions. So, but you get to decide who you want to follow, whose opinions you want to follow. If you don't agree with me, great, you follow somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all like from our experience, and I don't do absolutes, right? I'm going to tell people point blank, how do you figure out if keto is not right for you? And if you want to do it, how to get yourself ready for it. But for people who it really isn't, like we're, you know, with the ups and swings and people who have really serious problems with that, here's a clue. If you go 3, 4, 5 hours without eating and you feel like, oh, stressed out and agitated, you're having an adrenal response, obviously, right? And then the first goes up is the adrenaline and then the cortisol. And if you're not having that, or you can start to space your meals and get to a point where you can go longer and longer while you're healing the underlying dysfunction, then you might be able to fast or do keto. But that's my opinion, right? That's been my experience.
I just realized with the keto challenge, you're going to be here for the heart math. So that's going to be that weekend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that affects food challenge. But anything that I normally eat is keto.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for the rest of us. That's awesome.
Yeah. And the thing about that is, like, you know, one of the things I don't eat a lot of, I have to be careful of because it can pull me out of ketosis, red pepper cashew dip. And the reason is I eat too much of it, and too much of it, the red pepper causes the glucose to go up and the ketones to go down. But that's the only thing I have to really not overdo on, but I love it so much I tend to overdo it. Yeah, we'll talk all about that during the challenge. But yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, that's right.
Great.
And actually, we could do a Facebook Live together because I was thinking after the class ends at whatever it is, 5 or 6, that I would do a Facebook Live.
Great.
Or in the morning before it starts, whatever, or on a break because there's lunch breaks. And we could probably do a Facebook Live together. That would be fun.
Cool.
Yay. Okay.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks. All right. That's our last hand raised. I'm going to go back to the Q&A. Let's see what's on the Q&A. Jamie's was there, and then we have a few more. Hannah Aura, welcome. You usually don't come to these calls. I'm so glad you're here. What is the range to put in my freestyle glucose meter? I put 70 to 110. That way you know when you're getting out of the ideal range. That's what I put. 70 at the low end and 110 at the high end. Hannah Aura, again, I've recently been told that eye problems are connected to liver disease. In Chinese medicine, the eyes and the liver are connected. So it can be, it's not necessarily is, but it can be connected to your liver for sure. Rob in BFF, hi. Back to iodine and thyroid. There's a practitioner who makes a case for less lowering dietary iodine for thyroid. You probably heard this and wonder what you make of it. I can provide the link if you wish. Oh, I've read all that. I've read every single bit of it. And yeah, you can definitely send me the link. Post it in the BFF Facebook group and I'd love to look at it. Here's my take on it. There's a lot of people who are iodophobic. And they say, no iodine if you have thyroid problems. how the heck is your thyroid going to make thyroid hormone without iodine? Brownstein makes the case that he's seen more people that have a problem with low iodine with thyroid disease than high. But everybody has to find out for themselves. That's why I recommend the iodine load test. Hakala Labs or Doctors Data do it, H-A-K-A-L-A and Doctors Data. And you check to see what your iodine status is. And yeah, I'm very, very careful of people who have Hashimoto's before I recommend that they just go eat a lot of seaweed, that I have them tested because I don't want to aggravate it because excess iodine can aggravate Hashimoto's. There's lots of studies that show that. But that's excess iodine. I think the majority of people in this country don't have it. That study was done in Japan where they eat tons of sea vegetables and seafood. Right? Here in this country, most people don't. Most people are iodine deficient. Now, they may get iodine excess if they're eating that stuff on the shelves, the Morton salt, the iodized salt. They could get too much. But that's why they added iodine to the salt, was because there was such a large amount of deficiency. You don't have to eat iodized salt to get it. Why not eat sea vegetables? So that's how I make it. I'd love to see the study to see if there's any new stuff in there that I haven't seen, because I don't like to come from a place of dogma and I believe this and I'm not changing. But that's my feeling about it, and that's my experience with it. But thanks for asking that question, Rob. Okay, so one last look at the chat and then we'll call it a day. Okay, so I'm just going to look back to where I missed. Martha said, I started with fasting at night. It was successful this week, skipping dinner. Yay! Wasn't planning on it, but around 2 p.m. I was satisfied with my meal. It gave me energy, and then I went to Taekwondo and lost my appetite. I thought about eating it. That's great because that's intermittent fasting. We'll talk about that on the keto challenge, but everybody does it a little differently. It's like, when do they start and how long do they do? And we'll talk about that. One of the day's trainings is going to be devoted to that. Antifreeze is when I was in chemistry. That's Mary. And she's got a master's in neuroscience, so she knows. Yeah, it's antifreeze, ethylene glycol, propylene glycol, etc. Ethylene glycol is also used in it. Okay. So Marcia posted the link to the Pompa group. So if you want to learn more about fasting, you can do it there. Terry says Numedica has great liposomals. We'll have to check those out. Okay, let's see. Oh, so I don't know which one this is, Diana. Quicksilver, here we go. Water, glycerin, ethanol, vitamin E, uses tocopherol, a polyethylene glycol, succinate. See, so I don't recommend that. I like the Seeking Health. You might check to see if there's others. Check the Numedica to see. What is the range to put in? I saw that one. Yellow fever vaccine is a nasty one. Okay, good. I got your questions, Hannah Aura. Thank you. Talk to Lynn Rose about homeopathic vaccines. Absolutely. Absolutely. She can talk to you about it and then check out the link that Lynn will put in there. Yeah, so here it is. She put a really nice one, vaccinefree.wordpress.com, infectious diseases prevention, homeopathy, travel, topical diseases. So take a look at that, whoever's thinking of it. Cilla Watcott. Cilla Watcott talked about that, so you can look her up. Cilla Watcott, she put the name in there. And if you're listening to this after the call, you'll see the chat and just look through the chat. The chat is easier to look at after because this forgot. It just keeps scooting on me. So Hannah Aura says, my hands are red around the palms with a white area in the center. I mean, it's possible, I have to see it, but it's possible ringworm is, I'm thinking about it. It depends on the size of it. Ringworm has that circular thing, and that's a fungal infection. Lynn says quinine bark to take with you. Diana, I would avoid anything that resembles that stuff, the glycol stuff. I agree. Marcia, we asked that. Okay, we talked about that. Does that mean I can't get into autophagy? What is that? What do you mean by you can't get into autophagy? So autophagy, let me just say, it usually happens on day 3 of a fast, but some people it gets in earlier. I do now. And it's the ratio between ketones and the standard international number for your glucose. So there's a formula. You can look it up, convert American to standard international. I have it programmed into my phone. I have a spreadsheet. I'd be happy to share with the ERCers on the on their place. And I probably will share it. I'll share it with the ERC and I'll share it in the sweet spot. It took a lot of work to put that together. Rash is still there and thriving. Oh. Okay, that was Rob's question. I think we got everything. So I think it's awesome of you, Diana, to offer some of that calendula. Yeah. No additives or preservatives. Olive oil infused with the flowers and a touch of lavender. You're amazing. You are so amazing, Diana. I love what you do. What's the name of the fasting book that I liked? Fasting Can Save Your Life is a very old one. It's very dogmatic, but it doesn't go into the science, but it changed my life. So it was Fasting Can Save Your Life, Herbert Shelton. Very old book. Okay. Yeah, Martha, I discovered that I didn't die from not eating. Yay. All right, that's it. That's it. There's other books. Some of it, like Jason Fung has a really good one that goes into the science of it. I don't necessarily agree with his eating plan, but it's a very good book. The other one that wrote a book was Furman. It's a more recent one, and you may like want to try that. It was Fasting for Health. Lynn might find it, but Joel Furman. Just look up on Google, on Amazon, Fasting, Joel Furman, Dr. Joel Furman, and you'll find it. He has a good one. All right, so I'm going to call it a day. We've had some great questions, great discussions. I'm so excited to have all of you here. It's been awesome. Join me on the Keto Challenge, www.healthyketochallenge.com, and we're going to get really into it, and we're just going to be having fun and getting this thing going. So I will talk to you soon. I'm going to open your lines up so we can all say goodbye to each other on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
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 Bye. Soon. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye.